Stay right there in your easy chair for 30 minutes of pleasure. Don't you go, it's Melinda's show. It's the talk of the desert.
It's the talk of the desert with Melinda Reed.
I just love coming home at night. I turn around, she's a treasure. Everyone and everywhere I go.
Now, here's Melinda.
Well, this is definitely my favorite time of the year, and that's Christmas, and I love Christmas. So this is a Talk of the Desert Christmas show. And joining me on the first half of the show is my special friend, Samantha Landy, who's been a guest a few times on Talk of the Desert, author, speaker, inspirational person. And you've shared a couple of wonderful Christmas stories with us, and you're also going to share a couple, another Christmas story with us, too.
We are.
Welcome back to Talk of the Desert.
Thank you. It's always fun to be here.
And you've got your Christmas earrings on, too.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes. Samantha, you were head of Christian Celebrity Luncheons for 20 years.
20 years.
And you retired from that, and you've gotten involved with a whole bunch of different other things in the desert now.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's really been fun.
Good. Now, you have a new thing in your life, which is a radio show. Let's talk about
yes.
the radio show.
Well, it's on Sunday nights at 7 o'clock, and it's a one-hour show, and I do some talking, and we do some music, and it's fun. But the amazing thing is it started here, and I was only on the air about 1 week or so, and I was picked up by a ministry called High Adventures, and it now airs out of downtown Jerusalem.
My.
Yeah. Well, you know. And
do you
so
speak
it goes
Hebrew?
No, but thankfully a lot of them speak English. Mm-hmm. And so it goes into Lebanon and Syria, Jordan and Iraq.
Unbelievable.
So it was very exciting. So
tell me how the show basically got started.
Well, I had talked to, I do voiceovers and things for the local radio station quite often. And I was talking to him about my idea of just doing some of my own stories from the books I write. And he said, let me think about it. And then he came back with the idea of mixing my stories with the music. That's how it started.
And the show is entitled?
Psalms of Hope with Samantha.
Yeah. So, and how long have you been doing that show now?
A couple months, mm-hmm. 2.5 months maybe.
Now, have you heard much from anybody in the Middle East?
I've had emails from Africa. Well, it also goes on Sky Angel, which I didn't know was happening.
That's a satellite service.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's like Dish, you mm-hmm. know, that same kind of thing. And I have had one from Lebanon. But apparently English-speaking people are a lot over there. It's the business language of the world, so.
That's right, it sure is. Mm-hmm. So it's Sunday nights on 91.7 FM. At what time?
7 o'clock. Locally. Now on Sky Angel and over in Jerusalem, it's actually on twice a day on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm. So, but you're producing out of little old Palm Springs
we
here,
are.
Aren't you? Wow.
It goes
fantastic.
Up on GPS and comes down in Jerusalem.
Let's say, how many books have you written in total?
8.
Mm-hmm. And are you still writing the newspaper column?
Periodically. I'm a little jammed these days.
That's because you've been extremely involved with senior singles.
Yes.
You have to say that properly, don't you?
Yes, you do.
Yes, yes. Talk about your new book.
Well, my new book, which you have to say even more carefully, is Savvy Senior Singles. It's navigating the singles world from 50 and beyond.
It's like 7 slithery snakes slid down the slide, isn't it? No,
go
sorry.
For it, Teddy. I'm not trying that one.
I did pretty good on that one. So we
yes,
got Savvy
you did
Senior
very well.
Singles, though, is
yes.
your latest book. Uh-huh.
Yes. And it is a book for people over 50. There really aren't any books out there. Lots of books for the 30 to 50. But the over 50 people, especially over 60 in that range, we really have different issues than the younger singles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think we probably have a lot newer issues because of a lot of financial things and stuff that we need to take care of and
yes.
do ahead of time. Right?
Well, and even such a thing as, which is a newer thing, are you aware that the over 50 single is the fastest growing segment in venereal disease in America?
Really?
Yes.
That, would you?
Yes. No, you wouldn't think
wouldn't
so,
think
but
that.
It's true.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's pretty scary, isn't it?
Well, you know, I was telling a lady in the airplane, she told me she was 42 or 45, and, talking to her about this statistic that I had found, and she says, I can't imagine why. You know, everybody knows about unprotected sex, you know. And then she stopped in the middle of her sentence. She's actually a scientist with NASA. And she stopped in the middle of her sentence and she said, you know, my mom is 67, and if my dad died, she wouldn't have a clue or wouldn't even think about having protected sex because she's only made love with him her whole life. Mm-hmm. And it's not in her vocabulary like it is mine. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she said, yeah, I guess that probably would be true. Yeah. And we don't think of that. Mm-hmm. You know, you think the whole world is tuned into what is necessary to protect yourself, and they're not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's interesting.
Well, how did you decide that you needed to write a book like this?
Well, I have been speaking the last 4 or 5 years to senior groups around the country, now that I'm obviously a senior.
I wouldn't say that. And besides, I want to tell everybody I'm 5 years older than I am, and they're going to go, wow, you look great.
That's a good idea, yeah. But I don't like to do that.
Sorry, Samantha.
When you get as old as I am, you will not want to do that. Trust me. But I found out that most groups, well, you go to a senior center, mm-hmm. and the singles and the marrieds are all lumped together. You go to churches and they have a senior group and they're all lumped together, and yet senior singles have different issues, different needs, that are different than the married singles, mm-hmm. or seniors, I should say, mm-hmm. The married couples. So I found out that there was a lot of issues that were not being addressed for them, and decided to really write a book and address some of those issues.
And is there anybody else out there doing this kind of thing?
My publisher said not at this time. This
really?
Is, yeah.
And I think we're the fastest growing population with the over 50 groups.
We are.
Groups, yes.
Well, not you, honey.
Oh, I'm not too far away, Samantha. And in China, I would already be 50.
Why?
Why? Because they say they're 1 year older than they are from their birth date.
Oh, you're going to tell your age?
I am.
You're so brave.
I'm so proud of it. I will be 50 in July.
Good for you.
Yes. And that's
oh,
not
you
the Chinese.
Don't look your that's age, darling.
Thank you. You picked up on that. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Okay. How do single people overcome the loneliness in a couple-oriented world? How does that work?
Well, I think number one, first of all, you have to realize you can be alone and not be lonely. Mm-hmm. That's a huge step. Mm-hmm. Sometimes single people think that, okay, I'm alone, so I'm going to be lonely. But there are so many groups we can belong to. I think that sometimes women especially think they don't have a lot to offer now that they're single and over 50 or over 60, whatever that range. And so they draw back from friendships and society, and maybe they depend on one friend, and if that friend's not available. But in the book, I talk about the joy of having somebody who loves to go to movies and somebody else who likes the opera and somebody else who likes basketball games, so that when you have a variety of friends, there's always somebody to do something with.
And I also figured that volunteering can be a real fulfilling thing, too.
Volunteering is huge.
Yes.
And we do have a lot to offer, and we have more time as single people,
right.
even than married people, when it comes to volunteering.
Absolutely.
And usually we have more finances mm-hmm. available.
Now, living here in the Palm Springs area, have you found a lot of savvy senior singles?
Yes, there are many here. And they are also a very involved group.
Mm-hmm.
That's really been a neat thing about the desert, is that single people really do get involved in charities.
Well, hold up the cover, because the book is just in being published
yes.
right now, and it'll be out in January.
It'll be in the bookstores in January.
Okay.
Oops, do I need to tilt it that way?
I think that's good. I think that's very good. Yes, yes. And beautiful photo of you on the cover, too, Samantha, by the way.
Thank you. Well,
yes.
They did a little airbrushing. So.
Well, guess what? Most magazines do, too.
Yes, they do,
don't they?
They?
Yes. And where will it be available?
It'll be in the Christian bookstores, but also in Barnes & Noble and Borders.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. I can't believe we have 3 minutes left of this half.
Oh.
Now, I know that you wanted to talk about, because of it's Christmas time.
Right.
And I had you on before, and you talked about the innkeeper, how important his role was in the birth of Jesus Christ. But you also mentioned something about, you had a story about a red balloon.
A red balloon is my story of a really lonely Christmas, which we all experience at various times. We'd like to believe we have a Norman Rockwell Christmas, but it doesn't always
doesn't
happen.
Work.
And this particular Christmas, I was living in Oakland and living alone, and I found myself alone for the Christmas weekend. And driving home from work, I came up to my apartment, and it was cold and lonely. I built a little fire in the little fireplace and made some hot tea. But the house, the apartment was stuffy, and I was in the second floor where the treetops are. And so I went into my bedroom to change clothes, and I was really feeling very depressed. Opened up the bedroom window, and in the rainy day, there was a red balloon 2 feet away from my bedroom window. And I thought, you know, I think God sent that red balloon just to encourage me and let me know I wasn't alone. Because we can all feel very depressed and very lonely if we are feeling left out mm-hmm. of some mm-hmm. activities. And I just, it just gave me a little bubble the whole weekend to realize that that was my balloon, it was my present.
Oh, how wonderful. Now, Samantha, in just the next minute, do you have a really wonderful Christmas story, a special Christmas that you remember?
Oh, as a child,
yeah.
Most of the children, most of us have wonderful Christmas stories. My grandma would always bake the pies. Of course, in those days, we didn't think about hygiene, so we got to lick the bowl with the fingers. All those wonderful things. And our uncles and aunts would come. We had usually about 25, 30 people mm-hmm. crowded into grandma's house and mm-hmm. with all the cousins and uncles and aunts. I had a wonderful childhood, and it was a wonderful, Christmas time was always very special. We'd read the Christmas story from the Bible and sit under the tree, and it was wonderful, very precious.
Yeah, very precious.
Childhood memories.
I don't think we should ever forget those times,
no.
you know?
So, no.
Well, I want to thank Samantha Landy for joining me on this first half of Talk of the Desert on our Christmas show and to talk about your new book that's coming out here in January. Thank you for sharing all that information with us. And you have a website, SamanthaLandy.com, to keep up
I
with
do.
Samantha. I can't keep up with her. She's Palm Springs, another Palm Springs redhead. And so, but again, Samantha, and I wish you a very Merry Christmas to you
thank
and your
you.
Family.
Thank you. You too.
Well, thank you.
It's always fun to be with you, Melinda.
We'll be right back with a couple of special guests, and we're going to have some Christmas music.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. She's the talk of the desert.
Melinda's Christmas show is back with entertainers Trini Lopez and Frankie Randall.
Well, joining me on the second half of Talk of the Desert Christmas show is two of my favorite entertainers. And Trini Lopez, welcome back to Talk of the Desert.
Thank
You've
you.
Sold over 100 million records worldwide. Unbelievable. And Frankie Randall. And Frankie, you've got a story to tell about a Christmas song that you wrote and a couple of little things, and I'd
be happy to do that.
And I think we'll start with you.
Okay, very well.
I know the precious story of a very special Christmas when you were 7 years old. Would you talk about that?
Well, you know, of course, at 7 years old, we're still believing in Santa Claus.
All right.
I still do.
Well, and some people later, you know. Anyway, my dad was in the soda business. He made bottled soda. And in those days, you know, they used to put a label on the soda, whether it was cherry soda or Coca-Cola, whatever it was.
Sure.
And he had a company that he did business with that made these labels.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we were riding along in the truck. He had to deliver a few orders, and I said to him, Dad, I said, well, you know, when can I tell you what I want for Christmas? He said, well, write a letter to Santa Claus. And he said, but I'm busy. He says, you go in the office, and there was one of those old roll-top desks, and he said, just, you know, take a piece of paper and write a letter to Santa Claus and leave it there. So I said, okay. So I went inside, and there was a Sears Roebuck catalog. And I started looking at the catalog and saying, I want this pair of skates, and I want this bat, and this glove, and this ball, and whatever. And I'm writing all these things down, and the corresponding numbers, you know, the catalog numbers. And I took the paper and I folded it up and I put it in an envelope and I just left it on the desk. And my mom called, because we used to live right next door to where my dad's business was. And she said, come on home for dinner. So I said, Dad, what should I do with this letter to Santa Claus? He said, just leave it there. He said, keep it in the envelope. And I left it there. So the following day, my dad went into the office and he said to his partner, a fellow by the name of Phil Casale, who was my godfather. He said, Phil, he says, did you see that envelope that was laying here on the desk? He says, yeah. He says, I put a stamp on it, gave it to the postman this morning. So everybody forgot about it. And he said, you know, that was a letter that Frankie wrote to Santa Claus. So there we are. The Italians have a big meal on Christmas Eve as well and New Year's Eve as well. Well, anyway, we were sitting at the dining room table about 7:30, 8 o'clock, and the doorbell rang. And it was parcel post, I think, in those days. It, it rang the bell, and my father answered the door. And he said, can I help you? He says, yeah. He says, does Frankie live here? He says, yeah. He says, well, we got a couple of packages. So they went to the back of the, he goes to the back of the truck, and they unloaded about 30 packages, 35 packages of all these gifts. And like, we were all confused. Where did this really come from, you know? My dad was confused. My mom, you know, nobody knew where all these packages came from. Well, as it turned out, the label company that he did business with, when it went to the office, the girls thought that the letter to Santa Claus was so cute that they all chipped in and bought all these gifts and sent them to me on Christmas Eve.
Wow.
So, I mean, you talk about let's make Christmas every day, and that's what really motivated me to write that song, Let's Make Christmas Every Day of the Year.
It's a good song.
Yeah, thank you.
But can you imagine as a 7-year-old having the truck pull up and all these boxes delivered to you? You must have been beside yourself, Frankie, you know?
I'm sorry?
You must have been beside yourself.
Oh, I couldn't believe
and
it.
You got everything that was on your Santa list, wasn't it?
My dad spoke to some of these girls later, and they said, we didn't really know what he meant by certain catalog numbers and things like that. However, we did the best we could with regard to the things that he really described.
Right.
But what a fantastic Christmas it was. I felt real bad for my sister. She didn't write a letter to Santa Claus.
She locked out.
She lost out.
Yes, yes. And then we'll talk about your song coming up here in a minute. But Trini, what special Christmas memories do you have?
Just a bunch of memories. All my life, I have always gone to Dallas to be with my father and mother and brothers and sisters. And then when I became popular with my career, I still never took engagements. I always turned down all kinds of very lucrative engagements to be with my folks and my brothers and sisters.
Well, when you have as much money as you do, Trini, you can afford to give jobs up. You know, I remember Trini was selling records by the hundreds of thousands. The first time I saw you was at PJ's. In L.A.
That's where I got started.
And he got started there, and the record company got, wasn't it Reprise?
Reprise.
Yeah, Sinatra's.
Sinatra's,
And he came out with If I Had a Hammer,
yeah.
And just kept selling records, and I said, God, if I could just sell records like this, like Trini and Jerry Vale. I wanted to, you know.
Cute. Well, Trini, you've received a number of awards recently, like selling, Tin Diamond Award from the LA Music Awards, or selling over the 100 million records worldwide.
Worldwide,
Tell me quickly about that.
Well, it's just, I'm very fortunate that my fans love my they love my music and they buy my records, and that's what it's all about, you know, selling records.
And also, you have your 61st album coming out early in 2007.
Uh-huh, I'm finishing it now.
Okay.
In L.A.
What, a theme to the album?
It's a real rock and roll album. I mean, real rock and roll. I'm going to go back to the 60s and all that.
Yeah, that's probably real rock and roll, not heavy metal.
No, not heavy metal. I've never been into that.
I met one of your producers in Minneapolis.
He's the one that's doing it.
Is he?
It's Ron Dante.
Ron Dante. Yeah, tell us a little bit about Ron.
Well, he's a Grammy winner, producer, Tony producer, Tony winner, and even a Clio winner. That's for writing commercials and winning an award.
And also, you won the dance contest for the Parkinson's Foundation Resource Organization on October 28th. Quickly, tell us about that, because I want you guys to do your song.
Okay. Well, Joe Rosen is the president and founder of Parkinson's Resource here in the Coachella Valley. And she asked me, would you be my partner and dance with me? We'll do a song, you know, maybe one of your records. I said, yeah, sure, I'd be honored. So I told her, how about doing a cha-cha, you know? So one of my songs, one of my Latin albums, we did the cha-cha, and we won.
Does that mean you're headed for dancing with the song?
You never know. You never know.
Yeah, but it helped raise over $18,000 for the organization.
Yeah,
so congratulations.
The one evening. Uh-huh. It was great.
Okay, what haven't I covered that you wanted to talk about, Trini?
Just that I'm doing a new album, and everything is going great for me. I'm in good health, thank God.
Yes.
And I'm just happy to be here.
Terrific.
Well, we're happy to have you here.
Thank you, Frankie.
Well, you guys, you want to do your song that we've planned here?
Yeah.
To celebrate the Christmas season? Well, you brought your trusty guitar with you.
Yeah, and it's not very well tuned, because this is a 12-string guitar, and they're very difficult to tune.
He's been in the back.
And I've been trying to tune it the best I can, so don't pay too much attention.
Let's sing out of tune for the guitar. No. Go ahead.
Oh, then I can join in.
The air conditioning is really bad for this kind of guitars. So we'll do the best we can.
Okay.
Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad.
Prospero año y felicidad.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad.
Prospero año y felicidad.
I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. Feliz Navidad,
yeah, yeah.
Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad.
Prospero año y felicidad.
Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad.
Prospero año y felicidad.
I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart.
One more time.
I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart.
Cha cha cha.
Yay!
Thank you, Frankie.
The guitar sounds great, Trini. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
We don't sound too good.
You sounded great. Absolutely great.
Thank you.
Trini, have you ever produced a Christmas album?
Never done one. Not really. Mm-hmm. I've never really done a complete Christmas album, but I want to do maybe next year.
Maybe that will be your 62nd album, huh?
Yeah, 62nd or 63rd, I think it
is. Okay, something like
well,
that.
I'm available to do a duet.
We'll
do
a duet song.
Thank you, Frankie.
And Melinda will even sing a song.
Right. I don't think so. You know my line.
Yes.
About Buddy Greco.
Buddy Greco. Well, you tell him. Go ahead.
I sang a couple of lines of happy birthday to him. And he started laughing about two bars in, and he says, Melinda, you're the best worst singer I have ever heard. So I'm so proud to be the best at something. So
that's Buddy for you.
Yeah, really. Frankie, you produced a Christmas album.
Yes, the name of my Christmas album is Let's Make Christmas Every Day of the Year. As a matter of fact, this year I had the pleasure of turning the lights on at the Tram.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We were up there on Sunday, and the name of the album is Let's Make Christmas Every Day of the Year, and it's got all the traditional Christmas songs on it, so look for it. Go to FrankieRandall.com.
All right.
Oh, and TriniLopez.com. Good. Get a little promotion in there.
Right.
Tell me about the inspiration for the song Let's Make Christmas Every Day.
Well, the song itself is built around why can't everybody be as nice to each other as they are on Christmas?
All
you know,
around,
Christmas
yeah.
Eve, everybody opens the door for yeah. you. They're polite yeah, and all yeah, that kind of yeah. stuff. So that really was the sperm or the seed for Let's Make Christmas Every Day of
That's
the Year.
That's a good idea.
Thank you. Thank you, Trey.
Very nice.
And I love the story about your grandson when you were recording the Christmas
album. Oh, yeah.
Because
we did the recordings in July and August. So one day I happened to call him. He was coming home from school. I said, Joe, I says, how you doing? He says, fine. He says, what are you doing, Pop? I said, well, I'm on my way to do a Christmas album. He said, what's an album?
You know,
these kids were born into the CD world. They don't even yeah, know that albums yeah. existed oh, years yeah. ago.
So I guess the grammars are going to have to change it from album of the year to CD of the
I
year.
Guess so.
Yeah, that's
I
right. So. That's right.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
Right.
Well, I want to wish both of you a very Merry Christmas.
Same
and
here.
And from Time
year.
Warner and the crew here and from me,
yeah,
everybody.
Great crew.
Wonderful Christmas and Happy New Year coming up. Yeah. I also like to say Happy Old Year because those few days in between Christmas and New Year's are still good days, right?
Yes.
I want to thank Samantha Landy for being my guest
when
on the first half of the show.
When I get to be 50 years old, I'm going to read her
That's
book.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You got that right. And anyway, so Frankie, you're going to sing your song, That's My Christmas Every Day of the Year, as we come to the close of Talk of the Desert.
I'd be happy to do that.
Okay. So if we can start, queue up.
Get the band going.
Yeah, get the band yeah. going. Right here in the studio at Time Warner on Cook Street.
And soon it'll be all over. Christmas Day will soon be gone once again. We'll have our loved ones near to celebrate and drink a cheer. A special time we put aside to be with friends. A time to think how we need each other. To get us through all our sadness and fears. To make us strong enough to fight for the things we think are right. To keep us safe and give us health another year. And though we don't know where time will take us, we journey down the rocky road of life. I think it's time that we help one another.